Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, you're in for a special treat today. Have you wondered what has been happening with housing? The prices, the demand, the supply? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? Who's on first? Who's on second? Who's on third? Who's trying to steal home plates? What I want to know. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're very fortunate. We have John Adams, president of Adams Cameron Realtors, right here in Volusia County. And of course, their reach is beyond Volusia, but headquarters in Volusia. And the adamscameron.com is the website. And we have John Adams in the studio. Lucky us. Quick introduction. If you don't know John, he has been president of Adams Cameron for a long time now. The company was founded back in 1963, the area's largest real estate company, with more sales than any other company in Volusia and Flagler County. Wow. Before returning to his hometown in real estate, John began his career in the accounting field. Can't fault him for that at all. And worked for Arthur Anderson after receiving his MBA from Kellogg School of Business. It's quite a pedigree we got here. And his roots are deeply planted in Volusia County. Graduate of Seabreeze High School, hooray for Seabreeze, go Crabs, and Florida State, which is okay. We won't fault him for that. Oh, got the glare from Beth on that one. All right. My goal in life is to get a glare from Beth Moodhart, and I got it within the first few seconds of the show. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Now, when did you become president?
You know, I actually became the general manager for Adams Cameron initially 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
When I moved back to town. And I tell you, I was thrilled to move back to town. It's a family-run business founded by my grandmother back in 1963.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. My father had been running the business for many, many years. And with the boom that was taking place in the early 2000s, he was looking for somebody to come in and help out, and he is the chairman and CEO of the company and continues to be active today, so we're very fortunate to have him around. Lots of great experience.
So we got third generation?
Third generation.
All right.
That's right.
Absolutely. Very good. Very good. Very cool. And where's the office located, the home office?
We've got a corporate office in downtown Daytona on Beachside,
but
we have locations in two in Ormond, another office in Daytona, one in the Shores, one in Ponce, one on Dunlawton in Port Orange, and one out in DeLand. So we're sort of all over the place.
Wow, excellent. So you've got quite the reach. All right. So, but Volusia and Flagler are your main markets?
Absolutely.
Okay. Us too. That makes sense. All right. So I've got a lot of softball questions for you, John, and I want to dive in here because, you know, everybody's wondering, and I get these questions all the time, and I always, of course, have to tell people I'm not a real estate guy. I'm not licensed, so I would be careful what I would say to them. But so I've got a long list of questions to ask you on behalf of the listeners about real estate, and we value your time and would love to have your perspective on these topics. Number one, you know, what kind of market are we in? I guess that's the most obvious thing. Is it buyer, seller? Is it no longer cash deals? Give us kind of a quick overview, and then I'll have a lot more questions for you.
Absolutely. So we're a couple of years into a growth market. So clearly, we saw an incredible boom that took place between 2000 and 2005, and then followed immediately by the bust from 2006 until about 2008 to 2010, where it just sort of, the market just sort of rolled along the bottom for a while.
Kind of went sideways.
Exactly. And since then, we've seen tremendous growth. So we're growing at a faster pace than we grew at any point except for that incredible boom that took place in the first half of the 2000s. And we are nationally, we're seeing a growth that year to date we haven't seen since 2005. And I think that same thing we're seeing here in Volusia County and Flagler County. Flagler did very, very well over the last couple of years, largely because they were with Palm Coast and the growth that they saw in the first half of the 2000s. You know, they had a bigger bust, but that market has rebounded quite a bit. Volusia, we're seeing the same thing.
Excellent. Well, so the question I think a lot of people would ask is, you talk about how quickly things are improving. It looks good. It's only been exceeded in terms of the growth rate from that early first half of the first decade of this millennia. And so we have the potential risk that this is another bubble, or is this much more sustainable this time?
I think that there's always that risk, and it's always something to be concerned about. But it realistically, what we're seeing, I think, is rapid growth because we had such a decline. And so we're really seeing the market, I think, normalize and stabilize. The expectation that most folks have, in my opinion, is that we're going to see the market continue to expand, but it's going to start to expand at a slower level. In other words, prices aren't going to continue to increase at the level they have been. And that makes sense for a couple of reasons. One, you can't increase price forever.
Sure.
There's going to be a stabilization between the undersupply that we've got right now as homes are being built. We're seeing more home builders getting in there. And at the same time, the Fed's going to have to do something with interest rates, and that's going to affect home prices as well.
Okay, so in terms of the supply, you had, of course, that you went through that bubble and trough, and now we're kind of coming back up again. So am I hearing you, John, that there is not enough supply in the marketplace right now? I mean, are you seeing, does that make it a seller's market?
So I don't think we're quite at the point where we'd say it's completely a seller's market.
Okay.
I think we're pretty even right now. And the supply is tighter, but we're not overly constrained. So it feels tighter, especially to a lot of realtors who were in business in 2008 when supply was through the roof and we had years of inventory out there versus today, we're at about 5 months of inventory.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So we're kind of in a stable position. I think right now I would hesitate to say that we're entirely in a seller's market, but I would lean more that direction.
Okay.
But at the same time, from a buyer's perspective, with interest rates as low as they are, you can buy a lot of house, a good house, without ridiculous payments.
Excellent. So there sounds like there's an opportunity for everybody. And to the point about, you know, getting back to kind of the stabilized pricing and inventory, kind of the, you know, where the old economic supply and demand cross over and meet, the interesting thing about that is we have had such a rapid increasing rates. What have you seen in terms of those pricing adjustments? Are they, you know, was it all of a sudden like this big jump in price for houses, or has it just been growing steadily since the bottom?
Well, I think it's been a pretty steady growth rate with a little bit faster growth. Our market has a tendency to be a little stronger in the spring months.
Okay.
And so for the last 2 years, spring and summer have been the areas where we've seen the largest sort of increases, but that's more a factor of, you know, just the time of year than anything else. So if you adjust for that, I think it's been a pretty steady growth for a couple of years now.
Okay. So a little bit more of a seller's market, but not so much that it's distorting the marketplace, if you will.
That's where I would
put
it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Well, if you're just joining us, John Adams is in the studio with us. I'm kind of used to us having some guests on the line, but we're very fortunate to have John stop in and meet with us. President of Adams Cameron Realtors. AdamsCameron.com is the website. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll be right back with John. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. John Adams in the studio with us, president of Adams Cameron, adamscameron.com. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface with questions for John, so I'm going to start talking a lot faster. Let me just throw at you, John, the talk about inventory. You say right now that we're in Volusia, Flagler counties, we're at about 5 months inventory of homes that are available. That doesn't sound like a lot. And one of the other questions, you know, we want to pose to you is, what about this, you know, much talked about, especially back in the 08 to, say, 2013 period, there was all this, quote unquote, shadow inventory that the banks were holding. Has all that been worked into the system, or is there still some of that out there?
There's certainly still some of that out there. And so just to, you know, clarify, the shadow inventory is very hard to identify.
That's why it's a shadow.
Yeah. And realistically, what you've got to look at is it's not a matter of situations where the banks are foreclosing on a bunch of properties and then not selling them. That's not really what was ever the challenge. Instead, it's the amount of time it takes to foreclose on properties. And Florida is one of the longer states. And so you had a number of people who had negative equity. And in some cases, you had houses that the sellers had moved. They've left and they had just abandoned the properties. But it just takes a while for the bank to get through the process. They've got to go through the entire foreclosure. They've got to take possession of the property. They've got to make improvements to the property and get it in a sellable state. And then they got to get it on the market and they got to find the buyer. So there's quite a bit there. That being said, we have fewer people with negative equity today, and that's a factor of two things. One, we've worked through a lot of that through the short sale process and the foreclosure process. But then in addition to that, the prices have been going up. And so even for somebody who might be, you know, borderline, they've got a much rosier picture on the horizon than where they were 5-10 years ago.
Or lot less likely to want to walk away from equity.
Exactly.
Okay, and that stabilizes pricing and inventory.
Exactly.
And then you have, I was going to ask this, and you kind of got to it, is in terms of foreclosures and short sales, I'll go out on a limb here and say they are definitely down from where they were?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, I'm checking off my list here for John. All right. And then, so we are approaching, let me ask you this question. We're at 5 months inventory. Is that quote unquote normal? Are we approaching a time where you think it'll get even tighter?
I think it could get tighter. One of the things we're starting to see, though, is more and more the home builders are returning into the market.
Okay.
They're getting
out there.
They're building. Absolutely. It's a great sign. And so you see quite a bit of it in both Volusia and Flagler counties right now. And so that helps to obviously increase inventory and is very positive for our area.
Good. Is there a number you would say is kind of an average inventory? Is it 3 months, 6 months? What's the long-term average?
Yeah, so it's fluctuated so much over the last 15 years. I mean, you could go back and I would say it probably 5 months is not a bad number.
Okay.
It certainly feels tight for anybody who's in the real estate industry today, who's been at this for a while.
Depends on your perspective, right?
Exactly. It's not as tight as it was in 2005.
Okay, interesting. What was it like in 2005? 3 months?
I would say that's probably accurate.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. Interesting. So we've got, okay. So, and one final quick question before we go to a new topic. What about the cash buyer that was all the rage there for a while, who was coming in, buying property at a discount, you know, swooping up stuff? The investor market, what do you see developing there?
I think there's still a lot of cash in the cash buyers out there. And that's a combination of things. A part of that was when the market really went to bust, it became much more difficult in some cases to get lending, to get financing. So several people were getting frustrated. We saw some that I don't know that they were necessarily all cash buyers originally, but rather than going through the financing process, or maybe they couldn't get through the financing process, they were taking, they were getting family money or other things, other ways to get into a home that ultimately made them cash buyers. In addition to that, when you had so much of the inventory that was going so inexpensively, obviously investors got involved and there was a lot of cash there.
Okay.
We were running about 50-50 cash versus financing for some time. And even now we're probably at 40% cash. So it's still very high.
Still very high. Yeah. I was anticipating you saying, hey, things are better. Now we're down like 20% cash, but you're still 40%, still a significant number. Well, with all that said, here's kind of the big question. Is now a good time to look to sell your home, or should somebody wait a little longer if their circumstances allow them?
Well, like I said, the property values have been increasing very rapidly. The expectation is that we're going to continue to see growth, but it's going to slow down. So now is probably a good time to sell. I think you've got most of that accelerated equity that took place over the last couple of years. You've recognized that, and now is a good time to get it out there, get it on the market, and get it sold.
Excellent. Well, and if we're using a 5 month inventory, is that then translate? And this may be a dumb question, but does that then translate to an average time on the market of 5 months?
Not necessarily, no. And time on the market is going to vary dramatically. And it really depends on, obviously, there's a function there associated with price compared to other homes in the
area.
But in addition to that, different areas are varying based on how quickly they're moving. There are some where you're seeing more turnover than in others. So it just depends on your specifics. And what I would suggest is if you wanted to find out what your home is worth and figure out how long you think it's going to take to market it, get in touch with a realtor. We've got all that data. We've got all that information. And an experienced agent can pull that information for you very, very quickly and get you the right reports.
Excellent, John. All right, if you're just joining us, John Adams, president of Adams Cameron, adamscameron.com. We'll grab a quick break, come back. I'll ask John to talk to us a little bit about hiring a realtor and what people should look for. And I know with your long experience, third-generation company, you can share that with us, John. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to get the most from your Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. Certified financial planner David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could enjoy an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment to get your free Social Security analysis. No cost or obligation. David can give you a free analysis and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security so you can maximize your benefits. No cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. John Adams in the house, president of Adams Cameron, adamscameron.com. And, you know, I know this is going to sound like a softball question, John, but I feel like you're in a good position to help us understand this. And whenever I'm asked about, you know, finding a good financial planner, I'm not bashful about telling people what I would look for. So I know you can do the same for us. Talk to us a little bit about finding somebody. You know, you talked about, you know, answering the question for somebody about whether now is a good time to sell or, you know, what should they try to look for in their home. And unfortunately, just as we have a few, dare I say, bad apples in the financial world, you've got a few in the real estate world as well. And some realtors will tell people what they want to hear just to get the listing. So tell us a little bit about finding the person that can help somebody really get the most out of their home if they're looking to sell. And then we'll flip it around and look at it from the buyer's perspective as well.
Yeah. So from a seller's perspective, obviously what you need to do, you need the right marketing. Yeah, you need somebody who can get out there and market the property. And what I would suggest are a couple of things. One, ask the prospective realtor about their marketing plan. And you want to see a comprehensive marketing strategy. If their marketing plan involves, you know, oh, I ran an ad once in a real estate magazine, that's probably not what you're looking for. You want to see their marketing plan, and you want to see something very comprehensive. Print is still important, but much less so than it used to be. So
okay.
I think you still want to look at, you want to make sure that they've got great coverage in the newspaper. You want to see that they've got ads in some of the trade publications. But in addition to that, you really need to understand their online strategy.
Yeah.
You need to know where your house is going to be listed. You want to make sure that it's got a quality virtual tour associated with it. You need to make sure that they've got nice professional pictures associated with it. Pictures and virtual tours are the top thing that buyers are looking for. And so you want to make sure that you're not just going to Zillow and Trulia, which are very important, the top two websites, but Realtor.com, of course. And then you need to get onto as many other sites as possible, and you want to get the best possible coverage. You also want to look at their local website, their personal website, and their firm's websites, because those are so important. And then in addition to that, you want to make sure that they're part of, that they've got a relationships with the other firms in the area, and they've got positive
relationships. That's
relationships.
Interesting. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And that they've got agents that can get out there to find you the buyer.
Right.
You want to have as many agents as possible in that firm.
Yeah, I think people would naturally expect, well, hey, I want my realtor to be, you know, competitive and aggressive and you know, hardball and all that. But no, it's really networking and relationships. And hey, I've, you know, it's the old commercial, I've got the time if you've got the beer, right? I mean, you've got to be connected to these. It's really a network of realtors, and it doesn't mean we're colluding. It means that we're connecting buyers and sellers, because that's the name of the game.
That's exactly right. That's what our business is all about.
A good reputation is kind of critical. I mean, I'm sure in your world, you know, the ones that play straight and which ones don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We won't talk about that. All right, so what tips would you have for people that are looking to sell their home? They've made a decision. They want to relocate. They want to downsize, right size. They just want to do something different. What would you say to them, or some of the top tips you have for them?
I think the first one is what we just touched on, which is making sure you've got somebody who's got a very comprehensive marketing strategy and they understand how they're going to get that property out there. As for the things that the seller can do in order to make improvements, there are some that are usually pretty obvious, such as get rid of any clutter that you've got in the house. You want to really declutter the house. You want to eliminate it to make it look as you want to remove a lot of the personalization as well. If you think about going out to a model home for a builder, You're going to find that they have got more neutral colors. They've eliminated certain things, but okay. It's still staged appropriately. It's got, you know, nicer furniture, that sort of thing. And a seller can do all of those, but one of the things that sellers are overlooking these days is you got to go out to the street and look at what it looks like from the street.
Well, that's a good point.
The buyer's process has changed so dramatically. They go first online, and then they drive by before they're even getting in touch with realtors in a lot of cases. So you want to make sure your curb appeal is there.
Well, that's a good point. You know, the first thing I think about as you're describing is that neutrality of the very livable space looks good. But, you know, people are going to make judgments. And, you know, hey, let's just be honest. The American consumer makes snap judgments within 10 seconds. And, ooh, that looks like a lot of work. No, I don't want that.
Right.
And you don't want to eliminate people right from the get-go.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. So we've got, okay, so those are some ideas there. Deciding on a realtor, that's another step. Now, there are additional levels of education I see with realtors.
Yeah.
What do you say to those?
I think that most of the time, the best training that the realtor is going to get is going to be on the job, experience-based training. But in addition to that, you want to make sure that their brokerage has a comprehensive training program. The broker is the best place to get the training, in my opinion. There are some courses that are available through the associations of realtors and through others that are, in general, national courses. And it's not a bad idea, you know, for realtors to pursue those as well. The most common one is called a GRI or Graduate Realtor Institute, and that's a very well-known course. It's a good course, but there's no there's nothing that's quite the same as the local knowledge that can be imparted on the realtor.
Excellent. Good stuff. Okay. And how about for people looking to purchase? What about that side of the equation? So they, you know, you mentioned interest rates still being subdued, which they are, and you know, at some point the rates are going to move, and that might actually be the kick in the butt that a lot of people need to say, okay, I can't wait anymore. It's time to start looking at buying. I've got cash, I've got good credit, I've got whatever, but I've got these rates that are going to let me buy a lot more house for the same monthly payment. So what do you say to those folks who are looking to buy in terms of some ideas for them and what they should be looking for?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think one of the first things that buyers need to be doing, and one of the things that's often overlooked, is get in touch with a lender as soon as possible. You want to talk to somebody before you go out looking at houses, find out what it is you can truly afford, what are your payments going to look like,
right.
Get that information right up front. Make sure that if there's anything out there on a credit report that needs to be addressed, you're doing that now rather than later. And there are some great lenders in our area. That's the first thing to look at. Beyond that, make sure you get in touch with a qualified realtor who can get out there and help you to find the right property. There's a lot of us in the area and would be willing to sit down and review, you know, how many bedrooms, bathrooms, where do you want to be, all that type of thing, and get that list together as soon as possible. It's better, in my opinion, obviously, to work with a realtor on that than just try and figure it out from all the various internet websites.
Right.
I know that's where people are going first these days.
Sure.
But when you sit down with a realtor, I think you're going to get much better information, and you're going to save yourself a lot of driving around and a lot of time.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I have my own personal experience, John. I can tell you that, you know, real estate transactions done with a realtor like yourself versus trying to do it on my own, night and day, not even a comparison. And the other thing too, look, everybody's busy, and we need some, we need help. We need that personal shopper. We need that expertise, things that we wouldn't even think of to ask or things to do. Now, another subject that I want to ask you to speak to is the idea of, you know, we've talked about both representations for sellers and also for buyers. Kind of give us a current picture of how realtors are working with their customer, their client, you know, representing the seller versus representing the buyer, being a transaction broker. You know, if we go to see Adams Cameron, you know, are you going to be able to show me things for your inventory? Is that the same as you're helping me find somebody else? Give us kind of a picture on that. We got a couple minutes left to kind of put a nice big fat bow around that for us.
Okay, well, that's a can
minutes.
Of worms. A lot of this changed many years ago. In the state of Florida, there are multiple different types of agency. The most common is transaction brokerage.
Okay.
And basically, and there's not even, we're not even providing disclosures on that anymore, to be honest with you.
Because information's just a little dated.
Yeah, it's all transaction broker unless it's otherwise disclosed. But
okay.
What that means is that your relationship, even though, you know, your relationship with your agent, you know, you might be working with a particular person, your ultimately working through the brokerage. And so as a transaction broker, your agent can show you inventory that's listed by their brokerage or any other brokerage. They have access to the multiple listing service. In our area, there are four different multiple listing services. That's another thing that's important.
Wow.
You need to understand where
you
are. I only
thought there was one.
Yeah, wow. Flagler, Daytona, New Smyrna, and West Volusia are all different.
Oh, okay.
And so based on where you are, if you were in, say, Venetian Bay, you need to make sure that your agent has access to all of those MLSs. If you were in Halifax Plantation, for example, if you're selling, you want to make sure it's listed in both Flagler and Daytona's MLSs. And if you're buying, you want to make sure that your agent has access to both of those. So it's a bit of a challenge. Through the agency relationship, the brokerage and the MLS agree that there'll be compensation paid to whoever's representing the buyer. So as the buyer, your buyer's agent is working with the expectation that they're going to get paid by the seller out of the seller's total commissions
right.
at closing.
Okay. Good. Okay. So, and that is still how it's done traditionally, where the seller is in effect paying for the cost of the transaction. Of course, the buyer in getting the price, you could argue that the buyer's paying part of that too, because the seller knows he's got to, you know, it's got to come out of what he gets net, he or she gets net. So I guess in reality, they end up both sharing in the costs, even though it comes out of the seller side of the equation.
Yeah, I think you could definitely argue that.
That's how you make it feel right, at least when you're doing it. All right, so any final thoughts for us, John? I know that, you know, as a realtor, you've seen this for a number of years. We've got about a minute left. So give us kind of a final words of wisdom, you know, decades of experience here from you. What would you say to somebody looking to do something now in real estate?
You mean as a career?
No. Well, we can speak to that, but we'll do that for another show.
Okay.
Let's talk about just a few final points for listeners looking to either buy or sell, things they really need to know.
I think now's the time.
Don't wait.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the right time in the market. Interest rates are still very, very low. And whether you're a buyer or a seller, that's a crucial point. And they need to get in there and explore and figure out what's available to them and go ahead and either buy or sell rather than sitting around and waiting.
All right, good. You heard it right there from John Adams, president of Adams Cameron. Get on with it, ladies and gentlemen. AdamsCameron.com. Go to the website. A lot of good information there. John, we'll have to have you back, and we can talk another day about, because one of the gauges I have of the market is I look in the newspaper and look at the number of new realtors, and that's kind of a gauge for how the economy and real estate is going. We'll have you back to talk about that. Thanks for being with us today, John. We appreciate your time. John Adams, ladies and gentlemen, Adams Cameron, AdamsCameron.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.